Amazing Love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
Do you really believe that God loves you? Yes, He does. Reading from Psalm 139, starting at verse 6. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from God if I go to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me, your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts are towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. God loves you so much that His eye is upon you, that He's wooing you unto Himself. He wants His people to know how He loves us. Because when we know we are truly loved, we respond to that love. That you are special. That God knew you before the foundation of the world. Reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, first chapter, third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestows on us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He proposed in Him, with the view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth and in Him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be the praise to His glory, to bring glory to the King of Kings. What a calling. What a privilege. There is not a detail about us that God does not know. For some reason, we think many times that God is too busy. He's busy with all kinds of things, with national politics, with serious issues, earthquakes, hurricanes, and we might even blame Him for some of the tragedies that are coming into the world. Well, some of them might be His judgments just by removing His grace. But God is interested in every man and every woman. And He knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows us before the foundation of the world. According to Scripture, He knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb. many times when our births are not always appropriate in that we were born out of wedlock or by some other situation that could have been a lot better, we feel that we were an accident. No one is an accident. God knew you. He loves you. He created you. And His arms are open wide. And it's how we respond to that love, the love of the Father. God is calling His people to a love relationship with Him, to an intimate relationship with Him, that we might be healed, that we might experience His forgiveness, His restoration, that He might send us out to the world to do His works. But we cannot do that when we don't really trust Him or believe that He is or believe that He particularly cares for you and for me. Yes, we can say the average church, oh yes, God loves the church, but God is interested that you might know that He loves you, that He's called you. Reading from Jeremiah, the first chapter, Jeremiah's call. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Well, if He knew Jeremiah, He also knew you. John the Baptist was called. His mother, Elizabeth, was beyond years, childbearing years, when she conceived him. He was a miraculous birth to be a forerunner to Jesus Christ. To have the spirit of Elijah on his life, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. At this time in history, God's call is out to His children. He wants to embrace us. He wants to share His heart with us, that we might have the heart for the nations. I can only do that when I open up my spirit to the love of God. Father, I want to know You. Give me a fresh revelation of who You are. Most of us have gone to church and we've heard Jesus preached and we've heard the Father. We've heard about the Father. And sometimes we see God through our earthly father. And maybe Father wasn't there. Maybe Father had an alcoholic problem. Maybe Father was an absentee father. Or maybe Father was an abusive father. So we have a distorted view of who God is. And we need to know His Word and allow His Spirit to reveal to us who He really is. Reading from Psalm 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When Thou dost say, "Seek my face," my heart said to Thee, "Thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide Thy face from me. Do not turn Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." The Lord will not forsake you. He created you. He loves you.
He was there when you drew the breath of life. He could hear your voice the first time that you cried. Though you couldn't see Him, He was very near. And there's something now that He wants you to hear.
You will always be a child in His eyes. When you need some love, His arms are open wide. Even when you're growing old, I hope you realize you will always be a child in His eyes.
He was there the first time that you prayed, and He's heard all the promises you've made. As you came before Him crying, "Father, I have sinned," He said, "I love you, child," and made you clean with Him.
Always be a child in His eyes. When you need some love, His arms are open wide. Even when you're growing old, I hope you realize you will always be a child in His eyes. You will always be a child in His eyes.
Jesus came to give us a revelation of the Father, Father God. And no one can come to the Father except through the Son. And Jesus tells us that if we see Him, we see the Father. Reading from John's 17th chapter, starting at verse 20. I am not praying for these alone, but also for the future believers, that's you and that's me, who will come to me because of the testimony of these. My prayer for all of them is that they will be of one heart and mind, just as you and I are, Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, the glorious unity of being one as we are one, I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one, so that the world will know you sent me, will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Can you imagine that the Father will and does love us as much as He loved His Son? That was Jesus' prayer to the Father. Do you believe that His prayer would be answered? That when the Father sees you, He sees His Son? When we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, we repent of our sins, covered with the blood. Father looks at us and He sees Jesus. He loves us just as much. Why is that so hard for us to understand that? I don't know. It just is. Father, I want them with me. These you've given me so that they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me, and I have revealed you to them, and will keep on revealing you, so that the mighty love you have for me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus prayed not just for His disciples at that time, but He prayed for future believers. That's you. And that's me. Oh, God, give us a revelation of your love for us. We need to allow the Father to heal the blockages in our minds and in our hearts, to heal the hurts, the disappointments, to allow the Father, by His love, to embrace us. Most of us have gone to church, maybe all of our lives, and yet never really had that intimate relationship with the Father. Just by praying, God, Father, reveal yourself to me. Let me know who you really are. And I lay down all false teaching and all my preconceived ideas that are not true of who you are. Forgive me for being angry with you. Do you know how many people are angry with God? Does that sound surprising? Without even thinking about it, we can be angry because we lost a child, or our child had emotional problems, mental problems. We lost a parent, a husband. And be angry and never really thought about it. Disappointed that our marriage didn't work out the way we thought it might. Disappointed that we didn't have the opportunity to go on to higher education. Disappointed that we lost a job. Disappointed in our children. Oh, there are so many things to be disappointed about. Angry. Our anger and resentment that we have. And we do blame God. And we need to come to grips with that. God's love is there, but we will not allow it to come in and heal our lives. Reading from Romans 8th chapter, 36th verse. No, the scripture tells us that for his sake we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. We are like sheep awaiting a slaughter, but despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us enough to die for us. There is nothing in scripture that tells us that life is going to be easy. But the word tells us that his grace is sufficient, that we are more than conquerors if we will allow God's love, his grace, and his mercy to carry us through the dark times. And reading from the 38th verse, for I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today are worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. The Father loved us so much that he sent his Son. What more could he do? And bad things do happen in our life. And some of those bad things are just the fallen nature of those around us, our own sinful life, and sometimes just bad decisions. We make bad decisions, and then there's a tendency to blame others and blame God, and even sometimes believe we're suffering for righteousness, because we did not want to face our own sin and failures. The word tells us that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. There are other forces around us, powers of darkness. We cannot deny the reality of the things that are happening in our world today, not of God. When we see people slaughtered, we cannot say that's of God. God has given man free will. And could we be angry at him because he's given man free will? Free will to sin, to choose life or choose death. God is a loving God. He is merciful and he is perfect justice and righteousness. And Father's arms are open wide to heal our hurts. We just have to open up our spirits and say, Father, I forgive you. Forgive me for being so angry with you and blaming you for things that you are not responsible for. Forgive me for my childlike nature and anger. The Lord doesn't mind us to be like children. He calls us to be like little children. But not that part that gets so angry and sulky. God forgives. God restores. Open up your heart and receive the Father's healing love. There is no love like the love of the Father. Reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, 8th chapter, he exhorts them to leave their sinful nature, because if they keep on sinning, they're going to be lost and perish. And he tells them, he exhorts them to crush the evil deeds. Just stop it. And then in verse 14, he says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." God's Holy Spirit, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, Father comes, Holy Spirit comes, and Holy Spirit, he is the sanctifier, he is the teacher, and he will lead us into all righteousness. And so we should not be cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family, and calling to him, Father, Father, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are really God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For all God gives to his Son Jesus Christ is now ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his sufferings. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for the future day when God will resurrect his children. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin and death, decay, the things that overcame the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear, and the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy. Reading from verse 29, "For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. And having chosen us, he called us to come to him. And when we came, he declared us not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness, gave us right standing with himself, and promised us his glory. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who then can be against us? Since he did not spare his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he always surely give us everything else? God loves us with an amazing love. He's called us to be his very own children, and we can call him Abba Father, Daddy. How intimately he loves you and loves me."
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.